Cameron Crockett. I have a local firm here in Long Beach, All Three Unit Architectural Studio. We specialize in residential and small commercial remodels and adaptions. So a large part of what we do is restructuring older buildings and updating their functionality. In previous employment, I've worked at larger firms doing larger buildings, including Kills for Lang Pertle, who specialized while I was out there, I specialized in retrofitting dozens of the old hotels in downtown Los Angeles, and I worked for Morphosis Architects, and we did a number of office towers, including one in Korea, which was a 15-story building that we seismically retrofitted using a exoskeleton, which structural system, which is another viable alternative to the city hall. So I in my own firm, I'm reasonably small scale, and we design and build our own projects. But I have a large amount of expertise in the retrofit and seismically and architecturally of buildings.
So what do you think it would cost to retrofit Long Beach City Hall, and with what caveats?
So seismic retrofit, and this is part of the discussion that's getting lost in what the city council people are presenting. The seismic retrofit itself is not that expensive, but what's being clumped in there is a lot of other things, including the ability to update the ADA compliance, American with Disabilities Act compliance, and energy standards. The actual seismic retrofit would probably be in the neighborhood of $30 million. And this is part of the discussion I've had with structural engineers that have expertise in the area. That the original building, as odd as it seems, the elevator towers, or what appears to be solid concrete corners on each of the side of the City Hall tower, you'd anticipate that those are actually structural members, and they're not. They're cast in place concrete. Precast concrete panels, and they're not structurally holding up the building. There's columns in the middle of the building that are holding it up. The way to reinforce the building is actually to look at encapsulating those towers and putting an exoskeleton, or essentially an exterior structural system, over the existing building, and making it updated at that level. The other odd thing about what's being lost in this discussion is that the current City Hall tower shows no structural deficiencies, in that it hasn't showed any cracking. It's not showing any type of structural failure. There's been no report that indicates anything like that at all. The potentiality for it to be damaged is what's being sold as the impetus for redoing the entire Civic Center. And by that standard, majority of the buildings in Long Beach would not comply. It's a severe standard to be held to, and it's usually unorthodox to require a building to be held to the newest of earthquake standards when it's in fact decades old.
Now, suppose you were required to meet all those new code requirements that city management has apparently put the goalpost at. How much do you think that would cost? Just an estimate here.
My guess is around $30 million to seismically retrofit the City Hall tower. Maybe another 10 to 15 to get compliant with ADA and other compliance issues. Certainly under $50 million to update the entire thing for and meet all contemporary code requirements.
What's your confidence level on that? 50%, 70%? How sure are you of that?
Very high. 90%.
Have you?
It's one of those things. Like you really have to study it in order to be able to quantify this stuff. But that's the part that's being disabled. Like without really studying it or allowing the ability to study it as adaptive reuse, you can't stick a positive number on that.
So are you confident enough if the city issued an RFP seeking proposals to retrofit a building and meet the code requirements, your firm could submit a proposal like that for under $50 million?
Absolutely. We would be able to absolutely. At a firm at my level, we would joint venture with a construction company that would offer the construction management and construction services. But yeah, it's definitely doable.
And you could still bring it in under that price.
Absolutely.
Have you conveyed this to people at City Hall, and what's been the response?
I've approached each one of the city council people individually that would meet with me, and so it's been two parts. We've been talking about the same issues as it relates to the library, and then the City Hall has been kind of an addendum to that discussion. But even with me and my team, we have a team of architects, structural engineers, landscape architects, local activists, that we've all approached the city council people as a group and approached them individually and asked them to consider the adaptive reuse possibilities. We met with all the three council people, and their response across the board was, well, this RFQ is going to allow the possibility for adaptive reuse, and we'll look at it as a part of that. But the RFQ didn't allow that possibility. The way that the RFQ is set up as a public-private partnership mandates that it be a profit-generating system, for a private entity to come in and help out a public enterprise like they're asking it to do. It has to be profitable for that private enterprise to do so. An adaptive reuse project is not necessarily a profitable project for a P3 partnership. It's usually a subcontracted or conventional design to build process where a single contractor is contracted out to fix it. It's not looked at as a fundraising component. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I want to just make sure one thing, though. When you were discussing this with council members, were you talking about the library or City Hall? I want to get that clear.
We approached them with the library, and we had general discussions about City Hall.
You did. All right. So who were the three council members with whom you were unable to meet?
Dee Andrews. Let's see. Al Austin and Steve Neal. The other council people, we met with James Johnson, we met with his representative, and Patrick O'Donnell, we met with his representative. We were able to meet Cherishevsky, Suja, Lowenthal, and Robert Garcia, and Gary DeLong in person.
Well, tell us how it went.
It was before the RFQ was issued. Five months ago.
Okay. So that would have been, we're in December now, so that would have been in about July?
Yeah. Uh-huh. We also, because we'd been speaking up at city council meetings and voicing dissent about the process, let me back up. We also tried to approach the Public Works Department, who's Pat West and city officials were pointing to as the expert in this area, and we were attempting to have a dialogue with them about trying to present an idea of adaptive reuse as a possibility. So eventually, we were given that meeting, but it wasn't really set up to be informative or helpful. I guess I'm not presenting that well, but it didn't go anywhere.
Well, tell us how it went. Yeah. Can you kind of give us a sense of how it went with the six council members that you met with, just a summary?
Sure. But most of them would defer to, because it's Suja Lowenthal's district, most of them would defer to Suja and her opinion in the matter.
Well, let me go through one by one. How did it go with Garcia?
Yeah. He's kind enough to give us some of his time, but he didn't believe that. Well, he again deferred to the RFQ process as the way that the adaptive reuse would be vetted and heard out.
Okay.
I don't know how.
All right. Okay. How about Council Member Lowenthal?
She actually came to our office twice, which was helpful. At first, I thought that we would be able to describe to her the possibility of adaptive reuse, and she would be receptive. In retrospect, I think it was more just to it was defensive, just to make sure that we weren't really doing anything that challenged her proposals.
Okay.
But yeah, we met with her three times, I think.
Wow. How about Councilman DeLong?
He definitely just deferred to Suja in this case. He wasn't really willing to weigh in.
And Councilman O'Donnell?
We met with Councilmember O'Donnell's representative, and she was very nice and seemed extremely receptive. We didn't talk to him directly. Jerry Shipsky was actually the most receptive and seemed to really grab hold of some of the topics that we were presenting. I think she's used a number of them in some of her dialogue in rebutting the process.
And let's see, there's one more. I'm not keeping track here.
Johnson, we met with his representative as well. But again, that's for him. The representative is probably just fact gathering for him.
Okay. So what do you think the council should do tonight?
I don't see that they will do anything else but approve the money. I mean, they've clearly described that they're not interested in looking at adaptive reuse, and that they're willing to spend millions of dollars of the city's money to move forward towards a brand new civic center. We've spoken out against it a number of times. I don't see the ability to stop this until there's actually a proposal on the table of the new proposal on the table that we can then look at and say, well, if it's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe it's not the best idea.
Well, what do you mean a new proposal on the table? What would you like the council to do if you had your druthers?
I'd like to see them spend a fraction of the money that they're spending on ideas for a new civic center on looking at the feasibility study of adaptive reuse. Spend just any small fraction of the amount that they're spending now. With what they've spent, so they're already allowed $1.5 million towards the RFQ process, and this is an additional $1 million. So they've spent $2.5 million, or will have spent $2.5 million towards the new civic center proposal, but they haven't spent one dime towards feasibility study of adaptive reuse. That the Arup Engineering and this team is brought in primarily to do to lubricate the political process and enable the Civic Center proposal to be better received.
Let me ask you this. Would an RFP be enough for you, or would that be sufficient for firms to like yours to offer
absolutely
bids?
Or even an open ideas competition, which is free. It's something I proposed to the city council people in their last meeting that reviewed the process. So in architectural community, we have things like architectural ideas competitions, which are purely a way of throwing a bunch of ideas out there and seeing if there's response to it, or initiating dialogue about it, or at least describing the possibility of new things that could happen that maybe you wouldn't think of otherwise. Primary example of this would be one like the High Line in New York, which is, you know, a wonderful process where they had an abandoned railroad track, second level railroad track, that they opened up to open ideas competition.
That's the one that Garcia has touted.
Absolutely, it didn't. It started out. It's not only an adaptive reuse project. It started out as an open architectural competition, not as a city-run project, not as a P3 partnership. And it was a wonderful process. And it didn't cost the city anything in the early ideas inceptions. to vet this and come up with a really, you know, beautiful solution.
Well, how long do you think it ought to take the city, if it wanted to produce an RFP to which you could respond? And how long would it take your firm to respond? I realize these are all hypotheticals, but what's your estimate?
So it'd be an RFP specifically for adaptive reuse?
Yes, for the city hall, to get that in shape.
Two months. 2 months we could have a viable RFP response.
You could have a response.
Absolutely.
All right. How long do you think it should take the city to generate an RFP like that to which you could respond?
Very little time. It'd be city council approval is the only thing that would be required, so weeks. And I would love to offer the opportunity to have an RFP for adaptive reuse and then put those ideas up against the RFQ response for the new Civic Center and let the public weed through it. I think that would absolutely be an intelligent and open-minded way to review this process.
Is there anything I should have asked you that I didn't?
No, I think your questions are on point. I think you're probably right. In my fantasy world, having an RFP that would actually look at adaptive reuse would be a wonderful counterpoint and a much more intelligent approach to what's going on.